This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads the show are as follows. Charter lawsuit is going to proceed. iTunes is disconnecting older computers and devices. We're going to talk about a smartphone study that I think probably we could have all known from the beginning. We're going to talk about Tesla and their actions here in Hawaii. And we're going to talk about, has your password been stolen? Plus, of course, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1261 of the Geekness Central podcast for Monday, February 26th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeeknessCentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show by just going over to PayPal and PayPal.me/GeekNews or becoming insider at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. It's been a few shows since I've been with you. And we'll talk about Kirk in his show production here in a few minutes. But if you're brand new to the show, I want to make sure that you take time and just bounce yourself over to Geek News Central. And when you get over to the website, we want you to get subscribed to the show. It's real simple to do so. Just click on Apple Podcasts or on Android or via email or Google Play or on Stitcher. Tune in, whatever your podcasting listening application or experience is, and get hooked up and get subscribed to the show. You can also use a standard RSS feed. But the main thing is to get subscribed to the podcast. That's the most important thing you must do as a new listener. That way you'll never miss a single episode. Now, while you're on the website, take time and review all the great content the creative team has been putting together. And we're coming to the end. Finally, we're down to the last few articles can you believe it, for all the CES coverage. And the team has really had to crank all the way through these and done a hero's job, I guess. I was trying to say a heroic. I can't even say it tonight. Oh, that's what happens when I take three shows off. But make sure to hang out on the website and check out all the great content that's been put together. Oh, man. Yes, it's just been a few weeks. But hey, if you want to watch this show live, you can do so by coming over while we're live at live.geeknewscentral.com and join the chat room there. Of course, we're on Facebook as well, and we're on YouTube Live as another location. So definitely check us out when we're live. If you're awake, usually get the show started about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard tonight. Tonight, we're a little early on the start, and I thought I was actually going to get started a little earlier, but had to get everything set up here in the studio after being out for a while. Hey, if you have comments on today's show, it's real simple. You can drop me a note on Twitter. That's one way to get connected. Of course, you can, I'm pushing buttons here and stuff is not working. There we go. You can drop an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can join our Slack channel as well by sending me an email and say you want to be part of the Slack channel. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook just by searching for Todd Cochran. You can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel on the Apple TV. Just search for Geek News Central. You can listen on the Amazon device by using the keyword and telling that device to play Geek News Central. You can listen on Stitcher or Blueberry.com. You can tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. If you have a Microsoft Cortana device, you can play Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by the GNC team. A lot more content coming to that site as we're getting closer to NAB. As that news starts to break, we'll be having a lot of content over there. Of course, we'll want you to check out some of the podcast legend shows that's been recorded. Of course, the new media show that I record with Rob Greenlee. This show would not be possible after tonight. Maybe they won't want a sponsor, but this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And you can find all the great deals at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And really, what it boils down to here is discount codes and savings. And whether it be a 30% off new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com, a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again with a free domain. So 12 bucks gets you started on hosting. Of course, if you're a business, you may want to look at that 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. So all those promo codes, again, can be found over geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go and save. And we want you to support the sponsor in any way that you can, especially considering I've just come off a huge week of vacation and some fun and some craziness. But I'm just waiting for the credit card bill to show up and give me a heart attack, to be honest with you. So any support of this sponsor is definitely supported. But you always do a great job and you come through, and we definitely appreciate your ongoing support. So as I have fumbled through the very beginning of the show today, and literally fumbled through, everyone, welcome. And I'm glad to be back in the studio, even though it doesn't look like I'm doing well back in the studio. But I want to give, of course, Kirk, give him a kudos for putting the show together. Now, we'd originally planned on him doing three shows, but we ran into a little bit of a challenge just before I was getting ready to leave, after the Monday show, before I left. And he said, "I'm plugging the mic into the laptop and it is not working. My laptop will not recognize the ATR2100 I bought him." And I said, okay, simple enough. B&H is right there in New York City or New Jersey. Let me do a one-day delivery. And I had a Zoom, a handheld recorder delivered to him. And he utilized that for the show. We got some emails that came in from some of you that gave feedback to Kirk. I'll read those a little bit later in the show. But as you know, as a reminder, and if you joined the show when Kirk was doing the show, being the stand-in guest, that was his first two podcasts. So I have listened to a little bit of samples here and there. And good job, Kirk, for your first go at this. And you and I talked a little bit today on Slack about it. And, you know, really what it really has done is it showed him the full process from start to end. And a lot to absorb, a lot to figure out. We'll proceed. But again, thanks for Kirk for guest hosting while I was out. But it's a little bit on the trip. We gathered a family up, and on Thursday night we red-eyed out of Honolulu and got into Tampa about 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday. Got the rental car, got everyone loaded up. Enterprise didn't have a car. It was my fault. So I got there and, you're not going to believe this. So I show up the rental car and I say, "Oh, my name's so-and-so. And you know, here's my reservation." And the lady's looking at me funny. And she says, "You're going to have the car for like 38 days. You're going to have to bring it back after 30 to extend it." I'm like, no. I'm turning it in Orlando a week from now. She goes, "No, I'm showing that you're turning the car in on March 28th. And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "Something's not right." So I open up my phone. I had made the reservation for March, not February. And I'm just like, my eyeballs open up big and I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm here a month early. I made the reservation wrong." And she says, don't worry. It happens more often than you know. She says, "But I have no vehicles." And I was like, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah, I have none, but I'm going to hook you up." And I was like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to end up with a a compact car or something like that. She goes, I've got one SUV that was just turned in. They're washing it now. Can you hang for like 20 minutes? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely, I can hang for 20 minutes because knucklehead me had made the reservation for March. What a dummy. And so not only did I get an SUV, I got an upgraded SUV. And so how do you do that? Anyway, we got out of there. Thank goodness. She says, you're lucky. She says, we've been trying to get other people cars all days. There's all the other car, all the other rental places are sold out. And I basically wrote her name down and I sent Enterprise a nice little email saying, hey, employee so-and-so really hooked me up and took care of us. And when she didn't have to. And so anyway, got the car, hooked up with my daughter and the fiance, and my sister was there, and my mom, and all the cousins just like, they all kind of like disappeared together, and the adults were just kind of hanging around, chit-chatting and stuff. But so really Friday was kind of up late, catching up, talking story. Saturday morning, boom, right up, cycle everyone through the showers, get everyone dressed, out the door. Wedding photos Saturday morning, and by noon, maybe 1 o'clock, we were done with all the wedding photos. Now, as a reminder, they'd already gotten married. We went there for the wedding celebration, essentially. So they had some additional photos they were taking, and they told all of the families, hey, just, there's a bar down the street. You guys go down there. We'll meet you there in about an hour when we're finished up. So all the dad one, dad two, all the family meshed together, and about 50 people of us descended on a bar with one bartender. And then luckily it was a place with draft beers, and I just laid my credit card on the table and said, let's go. And we were in there for a couple of hours and had a lot of fun and just, got to know each other a lot more. And then proceeded there to another location for food, and by about 5:36, we end up back at my daughter's place and started to set up for the, we'd already been setting up, but setting up the rest of the stuff for the big party on Sunday. Then Sunday morning, just, running around, getting everything ready. And by about 1 o'clock, then the party was on full force, and had a great time, and people drank a little bit too much alcohol. Some folks did. I didn't. I paced myself, but it was hot, Florida hot, 85, 86 degrees. The humidity wasn't as bad as normally is in the summer. But then all things done. We were by like midnight, everything's cleaned up. Everyone's in bed, and we're leaving early. Set the alarm clock and basically woke up that morning and cycled everyone again through the showers and got everything cleaned up, got him in the car, and we were on our way to Disneyland, and got to the hotel a little bit later, about an hour later than we'd planned. Dropped the bags, got our passes, and into Disneyland we went for the next 2 days. And doing a Disneyland. And we were staying at the Animation Hotel. It's a Disney property. Nice room. Can't complain. Everything was good. On Tuesday, we ate at a restaurant, which I raved about on Facebook. And it was probably the best meal that I'd had in a Disney property in ever. It was a really good, good meal. But later on that afternoon, Shoko started saying she wasn't feeling good. And by 6:37 that night, she had full-blown food poisoning. And for the next 24 hours, she was down and out for the count. Woke up Wednesday morning, made sure, she basically said, go, go, go. I'm going to be okay. Obviously, when you get food poisoning, you just need sleep, rest, and fluids. And so I got her loaded up with Powerade and water and everything she would need, not have to really move too far from the bed. And I headed for Kennedy Space Center. The kids went back into the Disney park again, and Disney was insane. I'm so done. I was done before we went to Disneyland. Too many people. Way too many people. I mean, just not fun. Not fun at all. Not my idea of a good time in any shape or form. But Wednesday when I went to Kennedy Space Center, oh, I geeked out. Oh, I needed about 5 more hours there. I arrived right at opening, and then my plan was to meet them about 4:30. Oh, so, excuse me. She got food poisoning Monday, was down Tuesday, went out Wednesday. So she was good Wednesday. She was food poisoned on Tuesday. I'm getting my days mixed up. But anyway, my plan was to meet them. I already had the luggage in the car, meet them, and then we're changing hotels. So, and I text them saying I'm headed back, and I ended up in this massive traffic jam. It took me 2 hours to get back from Kennedy Space Center to back into Orlando, got them loaded up. We transferred hotels into Universal. And then the next morning, everything was on for Universal. I loved Universal. Universal was a lot of fun. We had Express Pass because we were staying at a property, a Universal property hotel. By 5, we were back in the rooms, relaxing. Friday, my daughter came in from Tampa. She hung out with us all day Friday. We had dinner. Said her goodbye. Saturday morning, went to United, had to be there very, very early, flew into Houston, and it took forever. We were late getting to the gate, late getting the jet bridge up, and then we had to literally run from E11 all the way into International, all the way deep into C, and we made it. Got on the airplane, and then something was wrong with the toilet. And we sat. And finally, we got off to Honolulu, and my bags were the first bags off when we got into Hawaii. And so yesterday was recovering, and so here we are. But overall, great trip to Florida. I'm very, very pleased with how everything went. It was good. It really, really was. And good break. I did stand in line. And, you know, when you're standing in line at Disney and you're waiting 45 minutes to ride, it does give you plenty of time to respond to emails. So I was working a little bit raw voice-wise while I was standing in line and so forth. But still a lot of stuff to get caught up and really be... up to speed, and today has been slammed, but here we are, and I'm back in the saddle, and everything's a go, and until NAB, and when Kirk will take over again for a couple of episodes, but for now, I'm here with you, and the show goes on as planned on schedule, and all the way through the month of March, I will be with you with a regular show schedule, okay? All right, so the first article tonight, I want to get into the whole stack here of stuff and see if I can get that set up right, is that Charter has been unable to wiggle itself out from a state lawsuit. So early last year, Charter was sued by New York Attorney General Eric Schetterman for selling broadband speeds a company knew it couldn't deliver. Sounds kind of familiar, right? Some of the stuff that's happened here. And according to the original complaint, Charter routinely advertised broadband speeds executives knew were not attainable, while simultaneously refusing to upgrade their network to handle the added consumer demand, a problem that's only gotten worse in the wake of the merger with Time Warner and Bright House Networks, despite promises of ample synergies. And the Attorney General's investigation also found that Spectrum TWC executives knew that the company's hardware and network were incapable of achieving the speeds promised to subscribers, but nevertheless continued to make false representations about speed and reliability. The investigation further revealed that while Spectrum Time Warner Cable earned billions of dollars in profits from selling its high-margin internet service to millions of New York subscribers, it repeatedly declined to make the capital investments necessary to improve its network to provide subscribers with necessary hardware. So they've been trying to get this thrown out, saying net neutrality, blah, blah, blah. And finally, it's been ruled today that by the Supreme Court of the state of New York, that this lawsuit can proceed. And it will, it is going to go to trial. So we will see where this leads now. And maybe we will get, at least New York, will be able to make Charter accountable for the advertising it's putting forth and for the speeds that it's selling. I notice now that they're saying up to, not specific, you know, here's the speed we're going to deliver, up to. They're using that in their advertising now. That's what they're doing here in Hawaii, up to 940 megabits. Not, we'll provide you 1 gig. So anyway, that necessarily wasn't the truth in New York State. So we'll watch this lawsuit as it moves forward. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Apple is disconnecting iTunes from older computers, including the original Apple TV. So if you've got an Apple TV 1 and that device has been around since 2007, it is now obsolete. On May 25th, iTunes will no longer work with that device. And if you have a Windows XP or a Vista computer, that means that you'll no longer be able to access the iTunes store. And really, that's the glue that connects Apple TVs to the company servers, and you won't be able to use iTunes to connect to the store with Windows XP or Vista either as well. Now, a legacy Windows user will still be able to use the iTunes software, but not restore old purchases or buy anything new. So just be forewarned there if you have an older model computer that you're using. You know, I think we all been in restaurants where everyone's just looking at their phones. We had to laugh because oftentimes we would see the cousins hanging out when we were together where they were all like just doing stuff on their phones and we were collecting phones. We forced them, give us all your phones. And we put them away and we made them, force them to interact with each other. And for this trip, what I did was I said, okay, if you want to take a picture of your food that's come out and post that on Instagram or wherever you're going to do it, you can take a picture of your food when it comes. But other than that, no cell phones when we're eating. And we basically enacted home rules on travel. When we are basically dining, some of these places, you know, I'm paying a couple $100, good to enjoy, good to talk, you can talk about the day, instead of everyone down, head down, looking at their phones. We had plenty of time to look at our phones while we're standing in lines at these theme parks. So it was, you know, it was a good exercise for us. And there was a study done that when you're out eating, You probably already know this, is that your smartphone may be detracting from your restaurant experience. Now, really, restaurant experiences are, for me, going to restaurants is about, number one, enjoying something I haven't had before, and number two, being able to chit-chat and you know, talk story. So researchers recorded over 300 people who didn't know the study was focused on smartphone usage. The participants went to a cafe with friends and family. They're randomly assigned to either hide their phones or keep them out on the table during the meal. The dinners later answered questions about the experience. Now, of course, again, I don't think this comes as a surprise, but people with the phones out reported feeling more distracted and experienced less enjoyment of the time with family and friends than the people with their phones hidden away. On a 7-point scale, rating enjoyment, the phone users came in about at a half a point less than their non-distracted peers, which is kind of surprising. The team published in the findings in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology with plain speaking titles, smartphone use undermines enjoyment of face-to-face social interactions. No kidding. So I don't think we had to do a study to be able to figure that out. If you went to dinner with anyone where they popped out their cell phone or looking at it, responding or whatever. So we just basically said, you can take a, you know, get in, sit down. A rule was look at the menu first. No, look at your phones, look at the menu, figure out what you want to drink, figure out what you want to eat. Cause when the waitress comes, we're going to order it one shot. And not waste time, have her come to the table three times to get the order, or he get the order. And the and then when your food comes, take a picture of food and put your phone away. And you want to post it later, that's good, but not while we're eating. And it worked well. So try it next time you go out. Try to keep that phone stashed or put a rule in place. And you know, the best way to do that is whoever breaks their phone out first buys, especially with friends. All right, I want to talk a little bit about Tesla and their Powerwall. Tesla Powerwall systems help some Hawaii schools beat the heat. We know that Tesla shipped Powerwall batteries to Puerto Rico last fall and to Australia last December. And now it's helping actually here in Hawaii, and specifically very close to where I live here. Now, the area I live in is wider known as Kapolei. Matter of fact, my mailing address is Kapolei, Hawaii, 96707. But I live in an area that is known as Makakilo. So my mailing address is Kapolei, but Makakilo is up high. So I'm a couple thousand feet above sea level. It's usually very trade windy, except when it's not. But it's, you know, right now we've had a lot of weird weather here. Lots of rain over the past couple of weeks. Poor tourists are coming and seeing nothing but rain. But in the summer, not in the summer, 90% of the time, on the lower levels in an area called Ewa, they don't get a lot of, they're just the corridor they're in, they don't get a lot of trade winds. It just kind of works out that way. And the temperature from where I'm at to where, down in Ewa, in the area that's close to Kapolei, it can get in the 90s during the day, and it's very stifling. Now, in Hawaii, the schools here many of them are very old. They have no air conditioning. Classrooms tend to run very hot. The state's been trying steadily to get these schools all air conditioning. And it's just like any other place where the districts that have a little more money are always helped a little bit faster than the districts that don't. Ewa is an area that I won't, you know, there's parts of it that's better than others. But the school is, the kids have suffered there for, you know, 30 years. So what has happened is that Tesla, the state made a dictate that if the schools were going to add air conditioning, they had to come up with renewables to not increase the electricity bill. So Tesla's come in with solar panels and power walls to basically get AC into these classrooms in Ewa without increasing the school's electric bill. So they're storing power and generating power with panels on the roof of this school. So I think this is huge here in that the excess energy is being used to help drive the power bill down for the school, which will ultimately give them free up some resources to use for the classrooms and for teachers and for supplies and all that stuff. Now, I don't know what type of a partnership they did. if they gave or donated or if they did a discounted price, but there's a YouTube video about it. The kids are talking about it and how it's changed. So this is very exciting to me that they're using this on schools here in Hawaii. Now, it's not only Tesla, it's not only the government, it's some public companies are doing that as well. So I'm very, very happy to see this happen here in Hawaii. And I don't know if Tesla, exactly what the financial relationship of it was, whether or not the school paid for it or not. But irregardless, it's going to be a huge payoff to be able to cool these classrooms here in Hawaii. Many of you probably find it astounding that the schools don't have AC here. I remember the high school I went to. There was no AC in the high school that I went to when I grew up. Of course, the school was off during the summer when it was the hottest. And we really got in the fall. It was already starting to cool down. So we were never bothered that much. But I'm sure many schools are like that across the country today. All right, there's a cool service that's been set up. And it's... it makes it easier to find if one of your old passwords have been made public in one of these data breaches. Some of you may use a password that other people could likely use, but the passwords that I have used over probably the past 5, 6, 7 years have been very complicated. And I know that there's been a couple of breaches with services. And so I ran this tool, and now these passwords that were compromised, I'm using anymore. They were expired, but everyone kind of has a system in the way they set up their passwords. Some people use a random generator like LastPass to create a really crazy password that you can't remember, but I typically have passwords that I can remember, and I use a method to be able to have a secure password for each site that I go that if one is compromised, it's not going to cause all the sites to be compromised that I go to. So, but I had some of these, I had to go back into some older versions of KeePass and pull out the old passwords. And I tested this on this site, and it checks against 500 million leaked passwords. And because my passwords I know are pretty unique, of the passwords of services that I knew had breaches, I found 3 of them that were in the database. So what they've done is you enter your password and then he matches the CRC hash against that database. And it's a one way to kind of check to see if some of your passwords that you may have common utilization have been compromised. So if you're using the same password across multiple sites, you're definitely going to want to check this out. But again, this tool takes all the databases of all these breaches that's been made public, and then it allows you to check against it. So this is pretty slick. Now, a positive hit in the database doesn't necessarily mean your account has been compromised. Again, someone else could have been using the same password. But if you have been using something unique, very unique, that should not be utilized by someone else, you might get a warm and fuzzy if you find that a password hasn't been compromised. So I would only, here's my kicker on this. I'm not 100% trusting of this tool completely. So only you test passwords from accounts that you know were compromised, like an Equifax, any of those. If you're having a monitoring service that have told you where your credentials have been compromised, only check those passwords against this database. So I have the link in the show notes up for you to check that out. All right, let's see here. I want to check one thing while we're doing here tonight. And yeah, all right, good there. Moving on here, it's a good article on space.com. It talks about how astronaut Leland Melvin, an African-American, went from the NFL to space. And it's a good story here. And he's got a quote here that I thought was interesting. He says, the road to space is a long one for former NASA astronaut Leland Melvin, who charts his course from the NFL to outer space in an exclusive new video and urges retirees to always keep learning. He says, I remember this quote, and it is said, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. Melvin says in a new YouTube video produced by ARP, shared exclusively with space.com, he says, it's never too late to figure out why you were born. Once you start to answer, once you start answering that question, that could be at 95. Let's say you live to a 100. You have 5 years to live out this passion. That's why he transformed himself, and he remembers watching the Apollo 11 astronaut Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin take their first walk on the moon in 1969. But he was not, as an African American, he didn't have a dream of becoming an astronaut, because in the 60s, well, it was all white guys, right? So the first African American didn't fly until 1983. So, but he was able to make that jump and was able to achieve his dreams, and in his 50s was able to go into space. So I have the link up in the show notes on this. It's a pretty cool story. It really, really is. And I think it's for anyone that is considering a transformation from maybe a current job to something else, may give you some encouragement to do so. Microsoft Office 2019 is coming. Everything you need to know is in this article over at makeuseof.com. And the standalone version of Microsoft Office 2019 will be exclusive to Windows 10. And while Office 2019 may run on Windows 7 and 8.1, Microsoft is not planning on to support it on these versions of its operating systems. Moreover, Office 2019 could be, quote unquote, could be the last version of Office available outside of an Office 365 subscription. I pretty much, you know, I don't use Office a lot anymore. I use it for Excel spreadsheets and a few things, but I use Google Docs a huge amount. But anyway, talks about some of the new features for Office 2019. Of course, $99.99 if you do an Office 365 subscription. If you have Office 365 Personal, it's $69.99, or a one-time purchase for Office Home and Student at $149. So just be aware of, the Student 2016 will be the only thing that's available. Let me look at this. So, okay, well, talks about the upgrades here and what it's going to cost and what's available. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. Qualcomm is opening up to a deal with Broadcom. And we know that Broadcom made an unsolicited bid to acquire Qualcomm a few months ago. Apparently they're getting closer. And they're potentially getting to a deal. So I think they're just now, it's a matter of dollars. And we'll see if they're able to get this thing closed and get the financing in place and do everything they need to do to make the acquisition happen. So the dance continues. There's a DirecTV Now promotion. It's basically a massive Apple TV discount. And I want to let you know, YouTube TV came to Hawaii. I signed up for it yesterday. 35 channels. Yeah, so-so. I've never had access to the Sci-Fi channel here in Hawaii. That's something that Charter doesn't provide. So I immediately went and loaded the Sci-Fi channel the first thing, and it had some boring, nothing I was too interested in. So I was kind of disappointed, but we'll see how it goes. Hey, one thing I did do while I was on travel was I got myself a bunch of Minion stuff. So I have a Minion glass here, or a cup here in the office. And do you guys see the, those of you watching the video, do you see the Minion coffee cup in the background? A new addition to the studio, plus some new Minions hanging out in the back. We got some tropical versions of Minions hanging out. One in a hula skirt. And so anyway, you'll see Well, let me, for those of you that are, I couldn't resist getting this coffee cup. Now, it was, how much do you think this coffee cup costs at Universal Studios? Yes, $24.95. I'll never drink out of it. But I just couldn't resist. My wife saw it. She said, look at that. And I don't know why I like Minions. They just make me laugh. There's very few animated things like this that I care for. But anytime I see a Minion in a movie with Minions in it, I know that I'm probably going to laugh till my belly hurts. So if you guys find unique Minion stuff, I'm a fan. I'm going to run out of room for Minion stuff. But anyway, going back to the DirecTV Now promotion, it's basically a massive Apple TV discount. So for a limited time, if you prepay for three months of service at $35 per month, you'll get a 4K Apple TV included for free. The Apple TV costs $179 normally, so you're basically getting a $74 discount on the box, plus 3 months of live TV. That's a no-brainer. Alternatively, you can pay for a single month at $35 and get a free 4K Fire TV. Normally $70, currently $50, and that's a deal that's available. I'll have a link up in the show notes. Also, if you're an Android user, did you know that you can recover deleted text messages on an Android phone? Now, if you don't follow these instructions, you're not going to be able to make this happen. But there's a way to set your phone up so that you can recover text messages. Now, maybe you don't want to do that, but there is some potential here for you to be able to set that up so you don't lose. You don't lose text message. You may accidentally delete. You're going to need root access, and there's some steps you have to walk through to make it happen. So I have the link in the show notes for you to check out and to make that occur. Also, I'm always looking for special tools and gadgets to be able to tear gear down. There's a great offer right now. It's a $9 toolkit. It's available from Amazon. It's Amazon Basics. It contains all the specific adapters you need to be able to break down a smartphone or to take a tablet apart. So that link will be up in the show notes. Now, again, when you do this, you start voiding warranties. So be very, very careful of that, all right? But this $9 kit is available from Amazon via the Amazon Basics, all right? All right. I don't know why that changed. Let me check something here. Huh. That was very weird. Lower third changed on me, and I don't remember hitting the button. All right, there's one thing that I'm always taking account of, especially when we went on this trip, is I made sure we had enough micro SD cards, we had SD cards, and I've been working on a video for you. I shot some video. I'm still in the editing process of my trip to Kennedy Space Center. I learned a few things on vlogging, and I make some confessions during this video, so just keep an eye out. I'll have it up on my personal YouTube page in the coming days. But one thing before we left, I made sure we had enough SD cards and so forth. But there's a new 400 gigabit micro SD card. It costs $300, but it's 400 gigs. And that can store a huge amount of video. And it reads up to 160 megabits per second and writes up to 90 megs per second. Western Digital says that makes it more than 50% faster than the current SanDisk Extreme UHS micro SD card. So again, 400 gigs on this bad boy and set you back $300. But very, very cool that these cards are able to start handling that type of storage amount. It's purely amazing. It really, really is. Hey, a company called Celebrite, Celebrite, so maybe it's Celebrite, is claiming it can unlock the latest iPhones. Cellbrite, a law enforcement vendor that helps officials get into locked and encrypted devices, claim that it can unlock Apple's newest phones and operating system. The firm tends to keep its ability somewhat quiet, but it did advertise its ability to unlock and extract data from Apple's devices running iOS 11. Now, there has been a bug that Apple shut down here recently in one of their Project Zero releases, and they patched that bug in version 11.2. So it's possible that Cellbrite is using the exploit that was available in 11.1.2 to get into phones. But if you've upgraded, you may not be susceptible to this hack that they've found around phones. So anyway, that is the word on the street, is that they had a way into the iPhone for a little bit, and maybe not as much anymore. Apple's also said to plan a giant high-end iPhone. Basically, they're going to go larger. And it's not going to be much bigger than the current iPhone 10, but because of edge-to-edge screens, it will basically be a 6.5-inch handset. And it will be one of the largest mainstream smartphones on the market. Again, while the body of the iPhone will be about the same size as the iPhone 8 Plus, the screen will be about an inch larger thanks to edge-to-edge design used in iPhone 10. So up to three phones are going to be released this fall. So that at least is rumor control that's going on right now. If you were a Plex user, Plex has added DVR scheduling to its Apple TV app. So make sure you get that update. And if you're using Plex, now you can use the DVR function. That's the only thing about YouTube TV that's lacking, is there is no DVR function. And so if you're used to using that, you're out of luck there. The Galaxy S9 versus the competition. There's a good write-up difference between how does it fare against the Pixel 2 and the iPhone 8 with all the different dimensions and characteristics and all that. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. But one thing's for sure is the S9 has a massive battery, 3,000 milliamp hours as compared to the iPhone 8 at 1821 and the Pixel 2 at 2700. But talks about the different chips and the screen density and all that. So if you're looking at the Galaxy S9 versus the Pixel 2 or the iPhone 8, good head-to-head buy in Gadget. Again, link will be up in the show notes. BlackBerry's pretty happy. They thought that shipping 850,000 Key One phones is success. You compare that to the multi-millions that Apple have sold. When they say they're happy with 850,000 units shipped, that's kind of sad. Of course, the BlackBerry Key One is got a traditional QWERTY key on it that you can actually still type on versus typing on a screen. So I guess some people can't give up their old BlackBerry keyboard. Maybe that's why they sold as many as they did. Ford is updating Sync with Waze and a driving assistant. So Sync infotainment software has a few new navigation options. Sijik is a name that we haven't heard in quite a while, but the GPS company will bring its voice assistant to certain Ford vehicles. And if your blue oval clad ride has Sync 3 and you've got Sijik Nav app installed on your phone, you'll be able to press a button on your steering wheel to activate Sijik's new voice-powered driving assistant. You can ask driving assistant for traffic info, gas prices, parking advice, and so forth. So again, some updates there that definitely include Waze and this driving assistant app from Sijik. So I think the more exciting thing for me would be the Waze integration. The FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, has showed up for a conference. Of course, he skipped CES, according to there was some sort of threats, I guess. But he's in Barcelona, of course. He had to, you can't come to Vegas, but you can go to Barcelona. And he's at an event called The Future for the Industry, the Transatlantic Digital Policy and Regulation, and he discusses plans for 5G connectivity and, of course, his decision to repeal net neutrality. And he goes into some detail here about net neutrality. And he knows how many people in the majority of tech companies feel about his decision. He knows that there's a long legal battle ahead. Still, he said he felt confident. Consumer will see how his plan will benefit them by looking at the facts rather than influenced by viral campaigns like the Burger King's net neutrality ad, which he referred to after the panel moderator said to him that his decision was so frowned upon that even a fast food chain felt the need to mock him. And so he basically said that we need the smart pipes instead of dumb pipes. That should scare us a little bit. I want dumb pipes that just move data. I don't want smart pipes that direct traffic. But he says the United States needs a modern, flexible, light-touch network regulation. He says not a one-size-fits-all utility model from the 1930s. Link will be up in the show notes. A new alliance wants to improve the terrible in-flight internet. I paid for in-flight internet $24.95 on my flight out of Houston. It was the worst I've experienced ever. It was horribly slow. So horribly slow. I had two things I had to get done. I had to submit my podcast movement speaker session, and I had to submit a nomination for the Hall of Fame, for the Podcast Hall of Fame. I had two things to do. And it took me nearly 2 hours to get it done because the internet was so slow. But anyway, the group aims to reduce the cost and headaches associated with installation operation of infrastructure required to provide connectivity on aircraft, which is not in itself uncomplicated. And the end goal is to work together to cut costs and provide fasteners with fast, that would be awesome, reliable internet on board the aircraft. We'll see. So, the Seamless Air Alliance, formed by Airbus, Delta, OneWeb, Sprint, and Airtel. At least maybe it'll help folks flying Delta. A bipartisan bill calls for study on economic impact of broadband access. Well, I'm going to tell you, we don't need a study on broadband access. Here's what it is. If you have ever went to a broadband denied area, in other words, you're not getting good internet, it is an innovation stifler. And I've often said, if I move to the mainland, where am I going to move to? I'm going to move to, and I'm going to plant my porch at some place where there's 1 gig internet speed. I have to have high speed internet. It's a requirement in what I do. Sure, I'd like to live on a country road in the country in the middle of the woods where I could run around naked in the yard and no one would care or even be able to see me. But I can't get high-speed internet in that location. So I got to have, it's tough. It really, really is. So there doesn't need to be a study done. If you don't have broadband, it's a stifling situation. It stifles innovation, stifles business, you name it. It has to have a negative economic impact. So we need to get broadband to everyone. Everyone needs to have the ability to go fast. Facebook has settled a lawsuit over a 2012 IPO. Basically, they paid $35 million to settle the class action litigation, accusing them of hiding worries about the social media's company growth prior to its May 2012 IPO. So $35 million check being written. A court has ruled the FTC, data throttling lawsuit against AT&T can proceed. So maybe we're going to start holding some of these service providers accountable. AT&T's been involved in a long-running battle with the FTC. In 2014, the agency sued AT&T for throttling its customers' unlimited mobile data plans while not informing them it would be doing so. So now they're very clear when you get throttled, when you hit a certain per gigabit per month level. But before they didn't do that. So now that's going to go to court. Are you looking for a cheap smartphone? The best four cheap phones may actually surprise you. One of them is called the OnePlus 5T, $499. The Motorola Moto X4, $300. The Motorola Moto G5 Plus, $220. And the best refurbished phone available is the iPhone 7 for $420. So link will be up in the show notes. You can get review on these relatively inexpensive smartphones. Today, Canon announced the EOS M50 mirrorless camera with 4K video. This is very, very exciting. Very exciting. Except in order to run L series lenses, you got to have an adapter. It's a new mirrorless 4K camera. It's not that expensive, $780 for the body. And it's not meant for professionals. It's meant for bloggers. And it is come with a kit, obviously. But the kit lens isn't really perfect for vlogging. So there's some good videos out about this already. So you're definitely going to check out the EOS M50 digital camera. And finally, Canon getting their act together and bringing a 4K mirrorless camera to market. Took you long enough. It really, really did. Of course, I love the Dell XPS 13. It's still in my go bag. I still walk out the door. When I go and travel, the XPS 13 goes with me. There's a new 2018 model. The Dell has made some improvements to propel this laptop forward with some new specs. And I'm a big fan of this particular model of Windows and this version of Windows. Even though we've largely went to Apple here in the studio, I feel this Dell XPS has still got a lot to offer, and the 2018 model is no exception. Link will be up in the show notes. In a little bit of a surprise, Apple's confirming it uses Google Cloud for iCloud services. The company has stopped mentioning Microsoft Azure. Apple's confirmed that it uses Google's public cloud to store data for its iCloud services. In its latest version of the iOS security guide last month, spotted by CNBC, reports that Apple replied on Google Cloud service surface in 2016, but were previously never confirmed. Apple had previously used remote data storage systems provided by Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure. Apple's addition of the iOS security guide in March of 2017 still listed Microsoft Azure instead of Google Cloud. The new addition describes its iCloud service. The encrypted chunk is a file stored without any user identifying information using third-party storage services such as S3 and Google Cloud. But the updated one does say Google Cloud. And so that's interesting. Love the cloud. Those of you who live in the European Union and have a drone, you're going to want to pay attention to this. The Register has an article about the EU aviation agencies. A proposed framework for drone hobbyists and professionals. This is not going to end well, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to be happy. You think the restrictions in the United States have gotten tough? Wait till you see this. It's called the EASA Opinion 0118, and it's going to affect those of you in the UK too. Even though with Brexit, you're still going to get forced into these rules. So just be aware. I have the link up in the show notes to check it out. There's four new features for YouTube Live. This is pretty awesome. Automatic live captioning and more. The new feature is automatic captions for YouTube live streams. YouTube has been auto captioning regular videos since 2009, but live streamers have always had to provide the captioning themselves. Now YouTube is stepping up to fill the void. This is one of many things that they are engaging on. So I'm pretty excited about this, that they're going to provide. So, you know, they're relatively good. Industry standard captioning. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. Very, very cool. So that's one of a number of things that they're bringing to YouTube Live. Amazon has renewed its podcast-inspired Lore series for a second season. Did anyone watch the first season of Lore? I must admit, I haven't. Was it worth it? Did you see it? Also, space.com's got some cool photos of the SpaceX Paz satellite launch that happened just a couple of days ago that I missed. That launch actually happened in California, so witnessing anything at Kennedy Space Center anyway, but I did get to see the booster rocket from SpaceX parked at the visitor center for 3 days. I was there and got to see it. It was awesome. If you didn't see my little Facebook video, you need to go look, and I'll have that in the YouTube video that I post as well. But this past satellite launch, it happened out of Vandenberg, and some pretty cool pictures. Link will be up in the show notes. Scientists are scratching their head big time. Recent Hubble Space Telescope findings suggest that the universe is expanding much faster than expected. Well, we kind of knew that, but astronomers say the rules of physics may need to be written in order to understand why. Scientists use the Hubble Space Telescope to make precise measurements of the universe expansion rate. However, observations from a new study don't match the previous predictions based on the universe trajectory. The community is really grappling with understanding the meaning of this discrepancy. Adam Rees, Nobel laureate and lead researcher on the study, describing the new findings, said in a statement, Rees, an astronomer at STSCL and a professor at Johns Hopkins, and the new findings show that the 8 Cepheid variables in our Milky Way galaxy are up to 10 times farther away than any previously analyzed star of this kind. They're basically saying that the universe is expanding a lot more faster than what it was. For example, 67 and 69 kilometers per second per megaparsec as compared to 73 kilometers per second per megaparsec. Wow, I don't fully know what that means, what a parsec is. But anyway, scientists are scratching the head. I'm sure we're going to hear more about this. Also, there's a good, pretty cool article in the Daily Galaxy. It talks about star density clusters in our Milky Way and some stuff that's being found that they're finding out. Link will be on the show notes on that. And finally today, it is being predicted that humans will hear from intelligent aliens this century. Humans will make contact with aliens by the end of the century, theoretical physicist and futurist Michiko Kaku told Redditors last week. However, Kaku said he wasn't sure whether we'd be able to communicate directly with the unknown extraterrestrial society, one that could run the gamut from hostile to pacifist. What do you think? Hostile or pacifist? I think we got a 50-50 chance there. Okay, that's it for today. I do have some email that I've got for you. Well, not fully over jet lag yet. We'll get 100% back in the groove here on the next show. But I get an email from Bill. He said, hey, Kirk, awesome job. Can't fathom how hard it would be to do your first podcast in front of so many seasoned listeners as a podcast like this one has. You are very brave. Well, Bill, after my performance tonight, Kirk probably did a pretty good job. So I'm glad to find out that you want to get into the production side of a new media, and working with Todd is giving you great insight and experience. And now you know what it's like on the other side of the mic as well. Anyone tuning in would feel right at home as you followed Todd's format, right down to letting us in on your personal story. Keep up the good work and see you Friday. Bill, thanks for the kind words for Kirk. Got an email from Jim. He says, hey, dear Kirk, great job on your first try. You'll make a good guest host. It'll be nice to have a guest host for the times that Todd cannot make it and deserves a rest. Thanks for sharing that story about your daughter walking into the glass. I, too, had a friend walking ahead of me at a good clip, slam into a glass door, and hit it really hard. I was not paying attention and felt bad. Later, I did not prevent it. I've seen that happen before, Jim, and I've actually laughed at people. I guess it's all laughing until you walk through the door, right? I think glass like that should have a light line running horizontally about chest height, like a blue line. That's all it would take. I agree. Some of those glass doors are too clean. Anyway, thanks for filling in. I'm looking forward to Thursday. Don't stress it. It will get smoother and smoother and you'll do great. Thanks for the email, Jim. Got an email from Jack. It said, a great cord cutter's guide to what's available on which streaming network. Chris Commando.com. Oh, I know her. Very, very cool, Jack. That's a good find. Linking in the show notes on that. And also he said, for great sci-fi, he sent me some suggestions as well. I like Altered Carbon. I just finished it yesterday. Last night I watched the last of season one. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. I think that's it. All right, folks. Back in the saddle. A little rough. But be back with you here on Thursday for another show. We should be back in a groove completely. Thanks for being patient on this show. Again, thanks for Kirk for doing two shows while I was out. Mucho gracias. Thank you very much for that. And keeping the audience engaged while I was gone. Any other feedback, definitely send it to me, geeknews@gmail.com. And I'm sure Kirk had left his email address as well on his show, so you can send him feedback over there as well. Hey, it's been my pleasure to be back with you and getting you guys caught up. We'll see you here on Thursday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.